this. I'm just going to preach to myself this morning. And again, because you were so gracious to come, I'm going to let you listen if you want to. But there's no pressure on anybody, because I have to practice the Word of God as much or more so than you do. So it does me no good to preach it to somebody else if I don't walk it out in my life. And so I need the Word of God too. But we do live in times of, I would say, critical times. And I don't portray fear, preach fear. I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, because I believe that God is going to take care of me regardless of what's going on. I know that God took care of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, when all the plagues and destruction and devastation was taking place in the land of Egypt. The children of God were in the land of Goshen, and not any evil thing came on God's children. God took care of them. Isn't that right? And so God can take care of you. So I encourage you, you know, don't get in fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. But at the same time, God the Father, He has all wisdom. He has all knowledge, and He knows all things. And He don't want us to be ignorant about where we're at in time and what's going on in the world. Because a lot of things, and I'm talking about spiritually, not just naturally, natural things that take place in this world are direct correlation and in relation to the spiritual world. There is a spiritual world that overrides and overrules and oversees this world. And everything in this world is influenced by the spiritual realm. If you're influenced by the Holy Spirit, if you're influenced by God's Spirit, then you're going to be doing right things and good things. If you're influenced by demonic spirits and the spirit of the devil, you're going to wind up doing bad things. Isn't that right? But there is an unseen world that's there, the spiritual realm, and God wants us to know what's going on, why it's going on, and He wants us to be able to pray about certain circumstances and situations in the world in this day that we live in. Because certainly, you know, the United States of America has come to a point in a place today that it just seems like, you know, having read history and understanding how this nation was founded, that we would ever be in a place today that we have now, you know, here in Iowa. And of course, other states are pushing it too, so I'm not knocking Iowa, so you don't have to jump on me, you know what I mean? But everybody's trying to push this, you know, same-sex marriage. I think actually the first time that took place here was in April the 27th of this year, which is just last Monday, that they actually started that. Well, that's not just happening here. It's being pushed through the court systems of the land all across the United States of America. And there's a direct attack on two different things. And we must understand that that's going on here. And it's not man. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and we'll get into the scriptures and see some of these things. But it's not man that we can attack and change these things. You know, certainly there may be natural things we need to do, vote, you know, and give our opinion, voice our opinion. But attacking somebody, you know, in a sense of speaking, is not going to change it. Actually, even killing somebody, and I don't promote that, don't advocate it, is not going to change it. Because the spirit that controlled that person that they're yielding to is still going to be here. So what I've got to do is go beyond the human being, go beyond the person, go beyond the president, go beyond the Senate, go beyond the Congress, go beyond the government, go beyond the Supreme Court, and deal with the entity behind it. You got to recognize and realize their spiritual forces that have set themselves in array against the United States of America. But really, they're not against the United States. They're against two things. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And number two, the written Word of God. That's what they're after. The Supreme Court, and I'm going to get into sharing with you some things. I've never preached this message before because I never had liberty to do it. But the Lord said for me to share with you this morning. I have written some things about it, but I've never preached or talked about it. So I just believe God for utterance and the Holy Ghost about where we're at. But God doesn't want us ignorant about spiritual things. In fact, in St. John chapter 16, you can read it later. The Bible says, when the Spirit of truth has come, and He has come, and I think it's in St. John 16:13, He will lead us and guide us into all truth, and He will show us things to come. Well, back in 2008, after the presidential election, I was preaching. You know, the election took place, what was it, November the 4th, 2008, right in there, November the 6th, somewhere right in there, it took place on a Tuesday. And after the election, I remember I was preaching, and just by unction of the Holy Ghost, you know, and this happens to me periodically, I just say things, and I don't even know what in the world I said them for. I said, where in the world did that come from? You know, that's how Rhema Bible Training Center got started. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin was ministering under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and right while he was ministering, he said, we're going to start a Bible school. He didn't even realize he'd said it. And so after the service was over, Pastor Kenneth Hagin Jr., who's now Pastor Kenneth Hagin Jr., and his daughter-in-law, Reverend Lynette Hagin today, and Miss Aretha Hagin, that was his wife, said, honey, do you realize what you said? You said we was going to start a Bible school. He said, I didn't say any such a thing. He said, yes, you said in your preaching that we're going to start a Bible school. I never said any such a thing. I sure didn't. And they said, we'll get the tape, because they had the tapes in these days. Now we got CD changing over from the tapes. And they said, we'll get the tape and play it back. So they got the tape and they played it back to him. And he said, well, if I said it, we got to do it then. He said, that was the Holy Ghost saying it, but it came out by inspiration of the moment. Well, I had a similar situation. It don't happen to me all the time. Just every now and then something like that'll happen. But after the presidential election, I was preaching along certain lines, and all of a sudden I said out of my spirit, I said, this presidential election didn't take place this year. It didn't start right here. I said, it started in 1940s. And I thought, my Lord, what are you saying? In the 1940s, how did this presidential election start in 1940s? In other words, how did we get to the point that we had this presidential election and it started in the 1940s? Well, what we have to do is we have to go back and God begin to talk to me about it. When God reveals something to you or gives you a word or idea, many times if you don't understand it, he'll keep dealing with you about it. But turn in your Bibles, and we've talked about, St. John, but let's turn in your Bibles to 2 John, and a pastor friend of mine, he's in heaven now. A good friend of mine, and I believe hopefully he's cheered me on from the grandstands of heaven this morning. But he used to call St. John over there, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He used to call that Big John. And then the ones in the back, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he called him Little John. So he would say, turn to Little John, you know, 2, you know. So we're turning to the second epistle of John there in, and we're going to read some verses here, or a verse or two, in this particular 2 John chapter 1. Amen. I can't get that wrong, can I? 2 John chapter 1. It says, verse 7. It says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Notice here, he mentions something about the Antichrist and about deceivers that have come into the world. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, when he's talking about false prophets right here, he's not talking about ministers of the gospel. You understand that? False prophets are not ministers of Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? They may portray an image that they represent the Bible and represent what God from heaven would want in the earth, but they are false prophets. They are not from God. And these false prophets are not necessarily people that call themselves ministers. They can be senators. They can be congressmen. They can be House of Representatives. They can be commissioners. Excuse me. They hadn't passed H.R. 1913 yet, have they? I'll talk to you about that in a minute. If you hadn't heard about it, just hang on. But anyway, It can come through many different voices. But notice he said, try the spirits, beloved. Believe not every spirit. Don't believe every voice. Find out the spirit behind that voice. Find out what's going on. Where did that come from? Yeah, maybe a human being, yes, and a human being makes the statement, but where does that statement come from? Where was this origin at? Does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up and agree with the Word of God? In other words, I'm to try the spirit of a statement. I'm not after a human being. I'm not after a man. I'm not after a woman. But I am after the devil that's trying to hinder the plan of God. So what I want to do and what you should do is expose the devil so that we can bind his works in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And again, we're not going on no devil hunt or witch hunt or anything like that. I like what Papa Hagen used to say. He said, you don't have to go hunting the devil. There'll be enough of them hunting you. So I'm not talking about going on no devil hunt and looking around to see who's got one, who hadn't got one, and all that stuff. You might find one if you go to looking for one. I'm not looking for one. What I'm looking for is the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. But if I confront the devil, then certainly I need to know what to do with him and how to put him in his place. But notice he said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God. Try to find out that where this is coming from, is this from God or is this from the devil? He said, many false prophets are gone into the world. Verse 2 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Notice in the other verse we read, the word Antichrist. Anti means against, in opposition to, opposed to Jesus Christ. Anti means in opposition against, opposed to, an enemy of Christ, Antichrist. And that is what John is talking about here in this letter or epistle that he's writing. And he said, the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, says, and even now already it is in the world. And at the time that he was writing this, he said, the spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit of the devil, is already in the world now. Well, if it's in the world in the day that he was writing this letter, where are we at in the world today? We can find out that this Antichrist is a lot more powerful and a lot more on the scene and getting a lot more things done for the kingdom of darkness than we should be allowing them to do, the Antichrist spirit. And so we need to deal with it. But look, he goes on to encourage us about this Antichrist spirit. Verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? The Antichrist, the devil, demon, every evil spirit, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. Everything. We've overcome them, whatever thems are, every them of the devil, because why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that what the Bible says? So we're not afraid of the Antichrist because we are going to be strong and we are going to do exploits in this last day in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But God wants us to know what's going on and why it's going on. Thank God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's turn and look at some verses there. We're going to get on into some things that I'm going to share with you. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's some things there too that God wants to speak to us and God wants to tell us out of his word. But know this, there's an Antichrist spirit that's in this world today. We need to identify this Antichrist spirit and put this Antichrist spirit in its place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so that God's will and God's plan can take place in this earth. Isn't that right? God is on our side and he's leading us and guiding us and directing us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, or the revelation of the word of God. That's what he's talking about. Our gospel is the revelation of God's word. It said, if it be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Those that don't know Jesus Christ, that don't understand the plan of God, that don't understand that there is a God. He said, in whom the God of this world, speaking of Satan, notice that God is a little g, God of this world, why is he the God of this world? Because people have embraced him, Satan. People have accepted him and invited him into their lives. It says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But notice here, he calls Satan, and that's what he's talking about here, the God of this world. Isn't that what he says? The God of this world. And he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded. Who did? The God of this world. Blinded them. Who is this God of this world? He is Antichrist. He is against Christ. He's in opposition to Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, to anything to do with God, to anything to do with the Holy Spirit, to good morals and values and principles that God established. This God of this world is the Antichrist. He is against and opposition to anything that is of God. And this Antichrist spirit, according to John, that we read there in 2 John and 1 John, it was in the world back in his day, and certainly we can see that it's in the world today. The reason that we are pointing these things out is not to get in fear, but it's so that we can get in faith. Again, we're not hunting a booger and a devil or nothing like that, but at the same time, we're not to lay down and stick our head in the sand like an old ostrich does and act like the devil doesn't exist, because certainly he does. And again, we can attack human beings all we want to, but it's not going to change the circumstances. What's going to change the circumstances is when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ realizes and recognizes their spiritual authority in Christ, and then exercises that spiritual authority over Satan. And I would like to add this to it too, in the spirit. This is not a game. It's not toys that you play with, like Tinker Toys or trucks or dolls or ovens, plastic ovens for the baby girls. You know what I mean? This is not a game, you understand, that we're playing. You have to be anointed by God, and we are anointed by God, but we must walk in the Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, the power of God is there to back up the things that we pray and the things that we say, because we're not any opposition, and we in our and of ourselves cannot make the devil do anything. We're no match for him in the natural, in our strength. And that's why we got to be in Christ, and Christ has got to be in us. That's why we got to be in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has got to be in us. And once the Holy Spirit is in me, then I'm more than a match for the devil, because the Bible says that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So if I'm in Christ, then I'm more than a conqueror. I can do like Elijah did on Mount Carmel. I've been there to Mount Carmel, where Elijah called down fire in Israel. He called all the prophets of Baal around under the anointing of God. And I think there was 450 of one of them and 300 and something the other. They wasn't just 400 and something. There was close to 1,000 total. But he told them, he said, we're going to prove and we're going to find out if God be God. He said, you do the sacrifices to your particular gods, which is demon spirits, by the way. And he said, I will sacrifice to my God, and whoever's God answers by fire, he said, that's the God that the people are going to be serving. And so Elijah prayed, and the fire of God fell, and then they killed all the prophets of Baal because they found out they're false prophets. But what happened? Elijah was in the Spirit, and the Spirit was in him, and God showed up. And in this day, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see some Elijahs coming on the scene. We're going to see that God is going to raise up men and women, and I'm talking about not just the Elijah and reincarnation, because I don't believe in that, but that same Spirit, that same power, that same anointing is going to come on men and women of the gospel that will walk in the light of God's word. word, because there are strongholds that the devil has been building that's got to be called down, and there's going to be a confrontation with the devil. We're going to come toe to toe, face to face, eyeball to eyeball with the devil, and we're just going to tell him, I'll be right here when the morning comes. I'll be right here and ain't going to run. My God, you ain't going to run me off. I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to stand my ground, and we're going to call fire down from heaven, and supernatural things are going to take place, and there are changes that's going to happen by the Spirit of the living God, not to exalt man, not to lift man up, but so that the kingdom of God can be established, because there are yet many millions of people and millions of people and millions that need to come into the kingdom of God that have been blinded by the spirit of darkness, the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world. And the reason the spirit of Antichrist has gained the prominence that it's had is because the church has been asleep. Don't make me come back there. Don't make me come back there. I'm telling you, it is the truth. And I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as a whole. The devil has been petting us on the head and rocking us to sleep. And in fact, to tell you the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Where'd you learn that at? In the courtroom. And it works. So help me God. Where'd you learn it? In the courtroom. But I can tell you the whole truth. The problem about it is now it's very hard to tell the difference between a Christian and a sinner. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. As far as lifestyles go, as far as dress goes, and that's not a popular message. Don't make me come back there. As far as morals and values go, as far as to where you'd find a sinner and where you'd find a saint go, they're all in the same place. In fact, you could find the devil sitting up with his arm folded in most churches sitting on a platform. I don't know what's wrong with me this morning. Who'd been praying? Amen. And I'm not against the church. You understand? I'm for the church and the local church. Everybody needs a local church and a local pastor that will stand with God. And we're for that 100%. I'm in a local church, always been a local church. Support my local church with tithes and offerings and help the local church in everything that it does. Because the local church is what's going to put you over in your everyday walk with God. And that's why everybody needs good pastors. Amen. So thank God for that. So we're in a time, though, that there will be confrontations with the powers of darkness by those anointed by the Holy Ghost. But having said all that, remember I made the statement just inspired by the Holy Ghost back in 2008 after the presidential election. I said this election just did not happen this year. I'm talking about the spirit behind the election, you know what I mean? And what happened. And what I mean by the election is the way the nation was turning away from the morals and values and principles of God's word. I'm not attacking any person. I'm not attacking Mr. Obama or Mr. Biden or the Senate or Congress or anything. What I'm doing is talking about the principles of God's word. But how did we get to the point that we are at this day? How did we get to the point that even we have leaders of our nation today that say that we're no longer a Christian nation? How do we get to that point? Again, I'm not attacking an individual. I'm not talking about an individual. But I'd like to read to you a few things and talk to you this morning about this fact. A new era began in 1947. It's in my newsletter. I don't know how many's left out there, but if there's none left out there, and I've never preached on this before, didn't have liberty to, but the Lord began to talk to me. But I wrote an article for our newsletter that came out for the month of April. If you're not on our mail list, would like to be, you can sign up right there at my table outside, or you can go to our website, randallgreer.org, and you can sign right up on the homepage. And also, we send out something called an e-letter. That's where it comes over your computer to your email. And we send those out more frequently because we can get them out quick. And then sometimes God will say, get people to pray with you about things, and the Lord will show us everything. And certainly I don't know it all, and I'm human and I can miss it. And anything I say or anybody else says needs to be judged in light with the Word of God. You understand? Because we certainly don't have a corner in the market or get to the point to say, well, I'm prideful and I know everything, because certainly I don't. I probably made more mistakes than everybody here put together, multiplied times 1,000. I don't want to talk too bad about myself, but I have made some mistakes in the past. But it's through those mistakes that I've learned some things, you know, some things not to do, some things to do. And I'm praying for the wisdom and mind of God every single day in my life. And so you can go to our website and you can sign up. And also, if you don't have it, you can go to the newsletter archive page that's on there. I think it's under the study center on a tab on our website. And of course, if you have any problems, go to our website. Can't find it, call my office. Miss Marie, Christopher, somebody there, they can tell you exactly where to find our current newsletters and archive newsletters, and you can read them right online. But we also send out a newsletter, a printed newsletter, to your mailbox once a month, and then we send out an e-letter. Sometimes we may send them out more frequently. And if you're not on our e-letter list, you must request to be so. We're not just going to throw you on there. You know, you got to be wanted to be on there, but you sign up for that too, and you can sign up for it out here. Just make sure if you're writing on the mail list, sign up for the e-letter or regular mail list or both, because you can have both of them, because they are different sometimes. But make sure you write in English and do not write in other tongues, you know, because sometimes Miss Marie is not totally in the spirit in my office and she can't interpret what you write. And so most folks can't write when they're read their own writing when their ink gets cold anyway, you know. So make sure you write it legibly or print. But I'm talking to you about a new era begin in 1947. This new era, this new time that we move in, this new season, this opposition that we're in right now, it just didn't start today. It has been progressively, this Antichrist spirit has progressively been gaining prominence and momentum in the United States of America specifically. Now, it's always been here because John said it did back in his day. It's always been in the world. But we're talking about the United States of America and this Antichrist spirit. Anti meaning against, opposed, in opposition to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. How did we get to where we're at today in 2009 in the United States of America? So now that we got same-sex marriage, all, not just that, homosexual, gay rights, all kind of stuff that's going on and opposed to the Word of God. The Word of God is being challenged, and they're saying it's got to be taken out of public places, can't pray in the schools legally. Just all kind of things that are there. How did we get to where we're at today, and where did it start, and where did it come to prominence? This new era began in 1947. Remember, I said it by inspiration. This election, or what we got to, the spirit behind all of this, just did not happen today. It started in the 1940s. But this is something that just happened recently, and I say this again, not to attack our president. The Bible says pray for our president. In fact, I was on my knees, and I don't say it in pride, but I was on my knees this morning before I came to church, and I was praying for President Obama. The Bible says pray for all of those in authority that we may live a quiet and godly and peaceable life. So I was praying for him. I was praying for all of those in authority. Why? Because I know if I don't do my job and pray, then the Word of God is not going to have free course, and it's not going to be at peace. If there was to be a civil war that breaks out of this country, and I'm not saying that it is, it would greatly hinder the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, would it not? So we want to live a godly and peaceable life, and it looks like now that there's factions that's coming up, on this side. This one's opposing this one, and that one's opposing that one. Well, they getting opposing enough to one another, we can get back under to when we have the civil rights in the United States, but it just in a different spirit, in a different way. And also, and we had the Civil War that happened in the United States of America, which was before my time. I remember the civil rights issue, but we're back there again. That same spirit is coming up, and we want to pray for peace in this nation so the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can go out. So I'm not attacking Mr. Obama, but President Obama stated on April the 6th, 2009, he was in Turkey when he said this. He said, "We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation, or a Jewish nation, or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bound by ideals and a set of values." Now, President Obama, our president, no president in the history of the United States of America had ever made a statement that would impact the United States of America more, I believe, than this. No president that we've ever had in the White House of the United States of America would have has made a statement. So this statement is historical. It's historical spiritually. Now, I give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, I believe it was a political ploy and plot and play, because if you want to get, you know, everybody to vote for you from different factions, the homosexuals, the gays, the crooks, the hooks, and all the kind of stuff, and the mafia and everybody else, then you've got to push God back to the side and say, we're no longer a Christian nation. We're not a Muslim nation. You know, we're a hodgepodge of everything. Well, I'm here to tell you, we can't allow this to happen in the United States of America. You know what I mean? And because of the fact that God's got a plan that he wants to bring to pass. But he said, we're no longer a Christian nation or a Muslim nation. Again, I believe it's a political ploy. Now, Mr. Obama, this is not the first time that Mr. Obama has made statements similar to this. And again, I say this not to attack him. His spiritual outlook on life was formed many years earlier by his parents, his education, and his associations. Now, this is not hearsay or anything, and I don't say this to belittle Mr. Obama, but I'm just trying to examine it. I'm talking about the man. I want to talk about the spirit that's come against this nation, this Antichrist spirit that's come against this nation. Mr. Obama was raised in a home where his mama was an agnostic. An agnostic does not believe or know if there is a God or not. You know, we may be, you know, she could have believed in, you know, that we come from cows and cats and dogs. You know, in India, they believe in incarnation. You can't kill a bug because it may be your aunt. You can't eat the cow because it may be your uncle. You know what I mean? And you may laugh at that, but if you're steeped in that kind of spirit and you're raised in it, you're in bondage to it, and we know it's all demonic. But also, Mr. Obama's daddy was an admitted self-proclaimed atheist. An atheist is someone that does not believe that God exists. Now, I'm not making this up. You can go find this in historical documents and documented evidence if you do study. Now, I'm not one to do this. You know, a lot of people graduated from Penn State. I graduated State Penn. You understand? So there's a little difference between me and somebody else and their educational ability. I never graduated from a public high school, and I'm not proud of that. I went to prison, drugs, and alcohol. And so everything that I've learned is because God has just graced me and helped me, and he teaches me how to study, and I get on my knees and pray, and then he'll show me what to do, how to study out this. So what I'm saying here about Mr. Obama's parents, again, is not to belittle, but to show you how this mindset could come and this Antichrist spirit could attack this nation. But his daddy was a self-proclaimed atheist, and his mama was an agnostic. Atheist believes there is no God at all. They believe in the Big Bang Theory. All of a sudden, bang! And then there was a slime poo, and there was a tadpole. The tadpole turned into a catfish, and the catfish crawled out on the land and grew some legs, and then all of a sudden started to walk around on its tail. And then all of a sudden it started swinging from a tail and turned into a monkey and then a gorilla and then the Homo sapien come up, you know, out of there somewhere. And then Homo erectus came along, you know. And all of a sudden we became from a tadpole. You know what I mean? And so that's what, you know, an atheist believes. They believe in evolution. You know what I mean? That we evolved from some great bang back yonder. Yeah. There was a bang. God said it and it exploded. My God, that was a big bang right there. But again, a new era began in the United States in 1947. And it is not the person, President Obama, that made the statement that I want to examine. It is the Antichrist, anti-Bible, anti-God spirit behind the statement that I want to identify and deal with. There are many other people in the United States that has the same ideals and values as Mr. Obama. So I'm not just talking, I'm talking about the Antichrist spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, let's turn and look at that scripture. Again, I've quoted it a little bit, but let's just go and look at it. Because again, we're not against any human being. You know, you could take a human being off the face of the earth. You could shoot him to the moon. But that's still not going to stop the spirit that's on this earth. Isn't that right? And so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." He said, we're not in a wrestling match against a human being. Flesh and blood means human beings. We wrestle not against human beings. That's what he's talking about. Flesh and blood means human beings. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what we're in a wrestling match against is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we read, is the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Little g is the Antichrist spirit. Remember that? Anti-God, anti-Bible, opposes anything to do with God or the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not against a human being, and that's what I want to point out carefully. I'm not to turn you against Mr. Obama. You pray for Mr. Obama. You pray for Mrs. Obama. You pray for Mr. Biden. You pray for our Senate, our Congress, and specifically and especially the 9 Supreme Court justices that sit on that bench. Because, ladies and gentlemen, they have the power to change this nation. It is, I don't know how we got to this place. 9 people can determine what you're going to eat, what you're going to do, where your children are going to go to school, what they're going to read, and what they can do, and it should not be so. Amen. It should not be so. It was never intended by the founders of this nation. The Supreme Court was never put into office to enact a law. They were put into office to enforce the Constitution of the United States of America. But it's become an activist court. And they've started enacting and passing laws that was never intended by the Constitution of the United States of America. The Constitution of the United States of America is being devalued to the point that their goal is, the Antichrist spirit, the goal is to actually make the paper worthless and bring us to a point that the Constitution of the United States of America no longer has any power, and that we're no longer a Christian nation, and that we're only a nation with a set of ideals and values. Show me some values, my Lord Jesus. To understand this thinking of how we got to a person saying that we're not a Christian nation anymore, and what brought us to President Obama making this statement in 2009, we must go back to the year of 1947. That is when this Antichrist spirit came to prominence in the United States of America. And I'd like to remind you of some Supreme Court decisions and other things that brought us up to 2009. In the Iverson versus the Board of Education ruling, in 1947, Iverson is spelled E-V-E-R-S-O-N, V, and then dot, Board of Education. I looked all this up. A lot of people graduated from Penn State. I graduated from State Penn. But I've got a Holy Ghost. It's my teacher. You can find this in the laws of the land. I used to be a jailhouse lawyer. I can laugh about that. But anyway, the 1947 landmark Supreme Court decision, what I mean landmark, unheard of, unprecedented, never happened before, says the 1947 landmark Supreme Court decision of Iverson versus the Board of Education, the separation of church and state was accepted as standard judicial policy. Separation of church and state. You know what that means? That God is not to be involved in the government, and the government should not be involved with God. Or you could say it this way, the Bible should not be involved in making the rules and laws of this nation, right? That's what they're talking about, the Bible, because they wouldn't against any other religion. All these attacks have been on the Bible and Jesus Christ. It hadn't been on any other religion, but it's been on the Word of God. And what we're doing, we're pointing out this Antichrist, anti-God spirit behind it. Says there was no constitutional grounds for this, and it was never intended by the founders of this nation. It came directly from the devil, And the Supreme Court voted and took the side of the devil in their decision. That one decision opened the door for the Antichrist spirit to creep into this nation. Following this declaration, the declaration of the separation of church and state was accepted as standard judicial policy. Following this declaration, the Supreme Court and numerous lower courts began striking down religious activities and expressions which had been constitutional for the previous 150 years. It had been constitutional up till that time. This occurred because of a lack of knowledge in spiritual authority in the church. A lack of knowledge. We didn't have the spiritual authority that we have today. We've got a lot more light on our authority in the church. And also its failure to earnestly seek the Lord. We must turn to God and bind the works of Satan. You can look it up later, but James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and what would he do? Flee from you. But if we don't submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, then guess what? He is not going to flee from us. And so that's what happened starting in 1947. Now, something else that happened along this time was a television set explosion happened in the United States at the end of World War II between 1948 and 1949. Why did this happen? The United States in World War II had been in a rationing mode. Now, that was before my day, but I studied this out in history and read about it. I didn't come along till 1954. I think Pastor, he was back here in Noah's Ark, so he'd remember all these things. You know what I mean? Miss Pastor, she wasn't, but Pastor was, so he might remember. But I do remember rationing at the gas pumps, you know, and things like that. But they used to ration everything. And so you couldn't get anything in World War II because everything was used, for the war effort to support our troops that were abroad, and thank God for that. Because if it hadn't, then Hitler would probably have been sitting over here and running the United States of America, or we wouldn't be the nation that we're in today. But anyway, everything had been rationed, and people, even though they might have had money, couldn't spend it because you were given ration coupons. And you could only buy so much bread, only so much gasoline, only so many beans and wheat and flour and whatever else, coffee, whatever it was, everything was rationed. Why? To make a room for the needs of the war effort that was going on to save this country and save the other countries. And so at the end of World War II, people had some money to spend, and television had already come on the scene, but you couldn't buy one because they wouldn't release any of that. All the money, all the efforts, all the technology focus was on the war and the war efforts. So at the end of World War II, between 1948 and 1949, there was a TV set explosion in United States homes at the end of World War II. Television can be used to spread good or evil. The truth is that television have been used by Satan to spread more evil worldwide than any other means. People would never think of so many evil things and ways to do them without seeing them on TV. The internet has now caught up with TV in this regard. As far as the technology and the things that you can see and find on the internet. But it was a television set, 1948 to 1949, that actually helped promote the anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-Bible spirit. Are you against TV? No, I think how many we got? One, two, three, four. I think three or four TVs in the house. Know that we got there at our home, but we're very wise about how we use them and what we let come in and the content that we come in. And there are certain things that we block and do not allow to come into our home. Why? Because we know that those things can be used for good or evil. And one of the ways that the enemy gets into people's life is through your eye gate. And through your ear gate, what you see is very powerful. Because what you see continually and what you think about continually is what you're going to act out in your life. And so if you watch people on TV, scantily clad, I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And robbing, cheating, lying, stealing, and you're constantly hearing that stuff and seeing that stuff, it won't be long before you're acting it out yourself. Now, I hesitate to say some things, but Sister Jeannie Wilkerson, does anybody remember Sister Jeannie? Sister Jeannie, yeah, there's some folks here. She went on to be with Jesus, you know, but I come along, you know, and got to become, I didn't know her personally, but I was acquainted with her ministry. I don't know if I ought to say this or not. But anyway, because you can't prove certain things, you know. But she used to think this, and she would say this, and she taught this. That demonics, that evil things can travel on light waves, like on through TV and things like that. In other words, if you watch certain things on TV, you know, demonic things on TV, there's demons behind that thing, and that demon will come into your home. You know what I mean? And now I don't want to get kooky or anything like that, or but there's some things that these old timers know that I certainly don't know anything about. But I remember Sister Jeannie Wilkerson said you have to be careful about what you let come into your home on the airwaves, because things can travel on airwaves. What you see, you know, books that you read, all kind of things, there's spirits behind it. That's what she was saying. Spirits behind it. And if you yield to them things enough, give place to them things enough, they'll control you. For instance, let me tell you just an example. My sister-in-law named Becky, who is no longer my sister-in-law by marriage, and my brother and her divorced. But years ago, my sister-in-law just started going bonkers. I mean, just for some reason, she would just lose her mind. They lived in Uvalde, Texas, and she started going nuts. She was a very beautiful girl. Brother had married her, and they had two children, a little girl and a little boy, Jennifer and Jamie. And all of a sudden, my sister-in-law just started just doing strange, weird, unusual things, like going out of the house and leaving her two children alone, just little small toddlers, you know, year and a half, 2 years old, and just leave them. And my brother would come home from work, and there would be the children and be no wife. And then all of a sudden, he'd be calling everywhere trying to find her. It's for the days of all the good cell phones, you know. He'd be trying to find her. Ask the neighbors, you seen her? What's going on? We don't know what's happening. But anyway, finally discovered, and she would be like she was a babbling idiot. I mean, just didn't know what was wrong with her. But anyway, this kept going on to the point that my brother was going to have to do something, because he could not provide for the family and work every day and take care of his children and take care of her at the same time. So he's going to have to do something. To the point that he started taking her to the doctors, the medical doctors, psychiatrists, and psychologists, and people started treating her, and she was getting down to the point of actually going to a mental institution because she was losing her mind. Splotches of her beautiful blonde hair were just falling out, and there would be places that she would be bald. And they said it was nervous condition. You know, they didn't know what it was, and just all kind of stuff. Bite her fingernails off in the quick, just to... You know, wouldn't keep herself up, wouldn't take a bath. I mean, just all kind of stuff. My brother was trying to help her, you know, can figure it out. So I'm visiting there. My brother wanted us to come. My daddy went. My little brother's there with his wife, too. And we're visiting in Uvalde, Texas to help my brother do some things during this time and try to help him out. And so I'm sleeping. I got appointed to the sofa. They had a three-bedroom place. But I got appointed to the sofa, the hide-a-bed, you know, in the living room. And it come time to go to bed, you know, everybody went to bed in their different bedrooms. You know, my daddy's in one. My little brother and his wife is in one. Then my oldest brother and his wife, Becky, and their two children are all sleeping together in the same big, you know, king size bed. And then I'm sleeping on the hide sofa in the living room area. And I turned the lights off and I lay down. And I had been lying there only about 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody had turned the air conditioner down to 50 below zero. It just got cold. I was freezing. And I had blankets and quilts and everything. And I said, what in the world is happening? You know, and I was going to take the covers and pull them up a little bit on me more so I could be able to snug up and get a little bit more warm. And guess what? I couldn't move. My body wouldn't move. That all of a sudden I sensed an evil presence. I didn't see anything, but I sensed an evil presence. And this evil presence walked over. Even though I didn't see it, I could tell it was standing by this bed that I was laying in. And I could tell this thing wanted to get in me. Whatever it was, I didn't know at the time anything like what I'm telling you now. I didn't know about demons and devils. A lot of them. I knew a little bit, but not a lot. And I knew this thing wanted to get in me. And I got afraid. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only two kingdoms in operation in this earth. And each of those kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, each of those kingdoms operate by one principle and one principle only. Each kingdom operates by one principle and one principle only. The kingdom of God operates by the principle of faith. Whatever God can get you to believe, He'll bring to pass in your life. The kingdom of darkness operates by the principle of fear. Whatever Satan can get you to fear, he'll bring on you. Job said, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." If you'll go read the book of Job in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd chapter, you'll find out that Job said that. And so fear came, and it's a spirit. Well, I know that God has not given me a spirit of fear. And I wanted to say, in the name of Jesus, get away from me. But I could not vocalize it. My lips wouldn't move. My vocal cords wouldn't move. And fear was trying to grip me. And then I thought, well, my daddy, he's an old-time Pentecostal preacher. He's back there in the bedroom. I'm going to yell for my daddy, and he'll come in here and he'll take care of this thing, because I knew he knew how to cast out devils, because I'd watched him do it. So I tried to yell. And I couldn't even open my mouth. Fear gripped me again. Then I remembered, I grew up around old time Pentecost. And if there's anything Mama taught us and Granny taught us and Daddy taught us, was pleading the blood. So in my spirit, I said, I plead. I can't talk now, but I plead the blood. My spirit is, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. And I'm just doing this. And the more I said this, I said it about 5 minutes. And the more I said it in my spirit, all of a sudden, I got to where my vocal cords loosed. And I said, I plead the blood of Jesus. And that's all I could say. Plead the blood of Jesus. And after about 10 minutes of doing that, I'm telling you the truth, it come out of my mouth. I plead the blood of Jesus. Jesus, not bind every devil and demon and command you to get away from me. And when I did, it's like somebody turned the heat back on. It's warm in the room. And I thought, what in the world? I've never had an experience like that. I didn't know what to do. I'm talking about what Sister Jenny Wilkinson talking about. Devils can be attached to certain things. Movies, books. Excuse me. I'm telling you. I'm talking about television, but... I said, Lord, what happened? I said, Lord, I got to tell my brother about this. I said, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord said to me, He said, the reason your sister-in-law is the condition that she's in is because this demon that's in this house. He said, this demon is making her lose her mind and do all these things. I said, Lord, my brother, I got to get up and tell my brother. He said, no, don't wake him up now. I said, well, how did a demon get in my brother's house? He believes in Jesus. He said, get up, turn the light on, and go to the bookshelf. I got up, turned the light on, went to the bookshelf. He said, look on the top shelf. And I did. The first book I saw was The Power of the Occult. Witchcraft and How to Cast Spells. And she had about 8 to 10 different books, some of them large, about all kind of witchcraft and, you know, calling up this demon or whatever they call it, you know, your whatever it is, you know, soulmate or something. I don't know what it was. And the Lord said, that demon has got a right to be here as long as them books are here. She'd give place to that demon. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, get them out of here. But it's not your house. So I couldn't wait till the daylight come. Soon as daylight come, you know, and the people started getting up, you know, and Daddy's an early riser, my brother, all of us were, you know, we worked all our life, you know, so we'd get up early, you know, and get ready to go and get things going. And as soon as my brother come out of the room, you know, I said, Ray, and I told him, I said, sit down, let me tell you, and Chris, the eyes are big, and I'm telling him the story about how this thing attacked me, and he knows me, you know, I ain't going to make up nothing. And he said, where are these books at? I didn't even know they're in the house. Because he didn't know. He's working all the time. He don't even know what's going on. And I took him and showed him the books. And of course, my daddy come in by. He said, yeah, that's true. That things can happen. And he said, Ray, so what do we do? I said, well, in the book of Acts, it said they burn them. He said, well, we're going to burn them. I said, let's take them outside and put them in a trash can and put some lighter fluid or gasoline on them and burn them. And we had a book burning that day. He confronted his wife about it. We got her helped temporarily. We got her some help temporarily for a while. But eventually, you know, she went back in that direction and she just went downhill and become just basically a babbling idiot because she was listening to those things. I don't know how you got me out there anyway. But there was a television set explosion in 1948. TV can be used for good or bad. Another thing that happened in 1950, I got to move hurriedly along here because you're listening too good. But keep on. There was a homosexual revolution that began in the United States in 1950. The first homosexual organization, notice we're starting in 1947, we came to 1948, 49, now we're in 1950. The first homosexual organization was founded in November of 1950. It was called the Mattachine Society. That's Mattachine. The Mattachine Society. I looked all this up. God showed me how to do it. And it promoted debased gay sexual rights. Sodom and Gomorrah was filled with this evil spirit when it was destroyed. Now, this next one you may not be too happy about, but again, history proves this, and I'm not knocking anybody. But they said Elvis is still alive. Let's go to Memphis and you might find him. But anyway, Elvis Presley, 1956. From the church pew to unbridled sensuality, history states, and this is historical evidence. This is not my statement. This is history, and it's in the history books. I looked it up. History states that Elvis Presley single-handedly ushered in a whole new era in American culture. Things that had been once been wrong and sinful were accepted as the new way to that generation. Sex, alcohol, drugs, and violence became a common way of life beginning in 1956 in this nation. Are you knocking Elvis? No, because if it hadn't been him, it would have been somebody else. Elvis Presley, I know you already probably know this, Elvis Presley has sold more records and recordings worldwide than any other human being that's ever been alive. Ever been alive. Ever, even to this day. Any recording artist that you can name or dream of, he has sold more recordings worldwide, Elvis Presley, than any other human being that has ever lived or that's alive today. That's how popular he became. Of course, we do know that he died prematurely. We do know that he died from drugs and different things that they say. Of course, I'm not knocking him or nothing. I've actually been to Graceland in the mansion over there one time. You know, I went through there just to look at it and everything, and the devil didn't get me, and I'm not knocking him and everything like that. And I'm sure if he'd have stayed in the church, God would have used him just as much in the church. You know what I mean? Woo! How did we get to where we're at today? That was 1956. We're moving on forward, fast forward to 1962. In another landmark decision, the 1962 case of Engle versus Vitale, verbal prayer in public school was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, even if it was voluntary and denominationally neutral. What, in 1962? In 1962, I'm in the second grade. I remember when I was in elementary school, the principal would come on the intercom system. We had intercom systems, and the principal would read a scripture and pray every day that we started school. It was a common thing up until the mid-60s, and then by law, the principal of the school could no longer do that anymore because of this Supreme Court decision that happened in Engle versus Vitale in 1962. We're talking about how this Antichrist spirit, how we got to where we're at today in this nation, and how this last election took place again, and this Antichrist spirit that came on the scene. In 1965, we'll go from 62 to 65. in a landmark decision in Stein versus Oshinsky, the freedom of speech was guaranteed to students and teachers unless the topic was religious, which means about Jesus or the Bible. If it was about the religious, which was Jesus or the Bible, at which time it became unconstitutional. You no longer had the freedom of speech starting in 1965 in the schools of this nation. And why are they standing in the schools today with metal detectors and police officers and students shooting one another and killing people and killing the teachers and things like that? Because in 1962, you said you can't pray in school no more. 1965, you said you can't tell them about Jesus and the Word of God. In other words, you removed the morals and values and the restraints that would stop the Antichrist from coming into school. Another thing that happened in 1965, a gay march took place in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Remember the Liberty Bell? That's where it's at. In front of Independence Hall in Pennsylvania in 1965. That's when the gay march took place. This marked the beginning of gay rights in the United States. That's why right today that I'm going to get to, that it's going through Congress, Senate, House of Congress, which is the Senate and House of Representatives, H.R. 1913, that will make it illegal for me to speak probably like I am this morning. Then we're just moving forward from 1965 to 1973. In one of the most ungodly, debased Supreme Court decisions in the 1973 case, Roe versus Wade, the legal murder of babies became law. Each time a human baby is murdered, which they call aborted, the heinous laughter and screams of glee from demons can be heard in the regions of the damned. The baby is sacrificed to Satan unknowingly by those committing the abortion or murder. That's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. It's human sacrifice. Now, we don't call it that. We think we can't be that debased. We can't be that immoral. We can't be that unconscious of spiritual things, but we are. The reason that this is happening, and the reason I say that this baby is being offered to Satan is because Satan is the one that instituted it. He is against the human being because we are God's highest rank of authority in God's creation, and we have authority of the devil, and he's trying to kill us, so he's trying to kill off as many of the children as he can. Ladies and gentlemen, I present this to you. We would not have a Social Security problem in the United States of America. And elderly folks that's on Social Security, you would not have a Social Security problem. And our Social Security wouldn't be in trouble if we had not killed off all the babies that would be in the workforce today, because when it was set up, it would have worked. But when you're murdering the people that's paying into the program and or anything, that's how you get to this mess and the places that we're in today. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We're moving along here. Now we're coming to the 1980s. We're just throwing a lot together here at one time, if we don't have much time. 1980s, 1990s, and 2000s. The rebellion of the 1960s and 1970s flowed over into the 1980s. Many young people died with AIDS because of the homosexual and lesbian revolution, as well as the free love mindset. Drugs and alcohol were plentiful, and crack cocaine was introduced. Young and old alike were caught up in the drug culture. This spirit has progressed, this Antichrist spirit, the anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-Jesus spirit, has progressed to the point that in the 1990s and 2000s, the survival of trees, owls, whales, turtles, etc., have become more important than human life. Same-sex marriage has been pushed through the courts of the land. The goal of this entire way of thinking is to ban the Bible from the United States of America. I've not listed or talked to you about all the evil inspired by Satan, but I just wanted to show you in the United States how we progressed from 1947 to 2009 till we got people making a statement in authority that we're no longer a Christian nation. And if you look around, it almost seems true. But is it hopeless? It is not hopeless. This is a wonderful truth. The truth is, we have authority over all the powers of darkness, and it is not too late to arise and command Satan to stop his maneuvers against this nation. I'd like to remind you of a scripture in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. You can read it later. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you power, which means authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He said, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It don't matter how big the devil is or how big of a foothold he's got, we can still command him to stop his maneuvers and demand that he stop. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In closing, the Antichrist spirit, our president, some Supreme Court justices, many in the Congress, and many people in the United States are under the influence of this evil spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness, according to the word of God. We can attack people with words, marches, riots, books, and speeches because we don't approve of this. But it will not change the spirit behind it all. We must realize that Satan has already been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ and enforce his defeat by commanding him to go in the name of Jesus Christ. We must not fear anything, but we must have faith in the words of God. He will take care of and protect those who follow him. I want to talk to you again. I'm closing. Compromise. Why should we compromise? The Antichrist spirit is a compromising attitude when it comes to Jesus Christ and the Bible. All the decisions that I've talked to you about here this morning and many that I have not talked to you about, multitudes that I have not talked to you about, all the decisions ruled upon by the Supreme Court about religion have been aimed at stopping the message of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the Bible. They have not been against other demonic religions. It is a direct attack from Satan through people against Christianity. People are being inspired and possessed by evil spirits to say and do these things against the Bible. Compromising will only lead to hell, so why should you or I compromise what the Bible plainly states? I personally will not bow to this diabolical, demonic, satanic, and evil way, regardless of who says it. I take my stand like Elijah did on Mount Carmel, and I'm ready for a showdown with the devil. Amen? And I'm telling you, you can't do that in the natural, and I don't say that in pride, and I'm no match for the devil or anything else in myself, but in Christ, I'm more than a conqueror, and greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. The church has been so concerned with being politically correct that we've got too many weak-kneed, yellow-bellied, broke-back, claim to be saints and Christians that'll lay down and let the devil run over them and then run over this nation because they're so concerned about hurting people's feelings. Forget people's feelings and say what's going to please God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Ladies and gentlemen, here we stand this morning, and it's April the what? 29th? Is that where we're at? April the 29th? Today, there is a bill, a legislation that's trying to be pushed through the courts of this land, actually through the Senate. They're trying to make it into law. H.R. 1913. H.R. 1913, and here we are, we progressed up, and this just happened. A friend of mine just let me know about this. I didn't look this up. I was studying and praying when my friend contacted me and let me know about this. But H.R. 1913 is right now before the Congress of the United States of America. What this does is when you speak out against anything or against anyone, such as specifically this aim towards gay rights, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, or lesbianism, and even pedophiles. Even this law would give pedophiles right in this nation, ladies and gentlemen. It would give them rights. You go read the law. I just glimpsed, my friend pointed this out to me because he knows I don't have time to read all that mumbo jumbo, but he knows how to do all that stuff. And pointed out that even this law, if passed, because of the way it's worded and not worded, would give pedophiles rights in the United States of America. And if you spoke out against a pedophile, you could be arrested and put in jail. If you spoke out against a homosexual, and not just attacking them personally, but said homosexuality is a sin and lesbianism is a sin, you could be arrested and put in jail. Now, this is already, similar law is already in effect in Canada. Our ministry is pretty strong up there. But in Canada, ministers that I know have already been arrested and put in jail because the church did not stand up in prayer. We can oppose things naturally, but we've got to oppose things in the spirit. We're not against any human being, but we are against this anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-Jesus spirit that has stood up in this nation. So I would encourage you, and I want to enlist your help for about 5 minutes. Could we do something? Let's just take some time here for about 5 minutes. Say, well, 5 minutes is not long, but you multiply 5 minutes time all of us that are here, it's a good while in prayer. That's what Pop Hagin used to say. But let's take about 5 minutes, and you can sit, you can kneel, you can stand, you can walk, whatever you want to do. And let's just pray about these issues. Remember, we're not opposing people, but we're opposing every evil force. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you've shown us and revealed to us.
We know that you are blessed by this message. If you would like more information about Randall Greer Ministries, or you would like to receive our free newsletter, The Word and Spirit, please let us know. We will be happy to send it to you. You may write us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Or you can contact us at our website, www.randallgreer.org. And remember, God is always with us.